everybody. My name is Rebecca Paredes, and this is A Helpful Heart, where we spread love and helpfulness by bringing you all the latest info about different organizations and projects and where to get involved. It's a real struggle being accepted in a place full of judgment, like high school or sometimes even at home, when people see you differently based on your sexuality and or appearance. At John F. Kennedy High School, they have a club called GSA. And GSA is a social and activist club for the LGBTQ students and their alliances. Wanting students to know that they are welcomed with open arms in a judgment-free environment with nothing but love and support. On today's show, we have GSA club advisor and teacher J.J. Turner McMullen. I got it. All right. Hi. Thank you so much for coming down.
No problem.
Okay. So let's get started.
Absolutely.
So can you tell me or tell the audience a little more about yourself?
Well, my name is J.J., and I am the GSA advisor at John F. Kennedy High School. I also run the theater program there, and it kind of goes hand in hand because quirky kids who are in the theater usually are in the GSA as well. So that's what I do.
All right. And what does GSA stand for?
The GSA is the Gay Straight Alliance.
All right. And how did you guys come up with the name?
So the GSA is an organization that's been around for a really long time. They're national. And there are websites you can go to if you're curious about having a GSA on your campus. You can go to gsanetwork.org. You can go to Friends of Project 10. And you'll be able to see all different kinds of places that you can start your own GSA. Some GSAs have their own names. Like our GSA used to be called Euphoria, and then they kind of changed the name of our GSA to the It's Okay Club. But as we sort of went on with those names, we kind of felt like we were getting lost or nobody really knew what was going on, and we really felt like having that strong name of Gay Straight Alliance was really important to us, because not only did it have the word gay in it, which we felt like we really wanted to like be out and proud, but it also had the word straight in it. And we felt like it was getting, like, the straight part of it was getting lost, too, and that a lot of people didn't know that it was for gay people and straight people who are allies.
All right. And what influenced you to start GSA?
I saw a lot of kids struggling on campus, and I felt a lot of homophobia on campus. When I first came to that campus, I was 28 years old when I started teaching there, and I really felt like it was like the old school good old boys club, and there were like lots of homophobic things going on, and I really saw students struggling with who they were and trying to be who they were on that campus and feeling that pressure. So it started off with an impact group, and an impact group is sort of a pullout group where you sort of check on the mental health of students, and we had 10 students in that group, and that group really wanted more of a social club, and so we decided to start the GSA on campus.
And how did the club actually get started? Like, how was
so we went through the normal procedure of starting a club on a high school campus. You have to have a constitution, and you have to have students who are interested in joining the club, and you have to have an advisor, and then you sort of come together. And then on campus, we have a club rush, just as you would on a college campus or anywhere else. And so at lunchtime, we presented the GSA, and we got things thrown at us. We got people saying really horrible things to us, and it was a small group. We started off maybe 12 people, and I don't think that it would have been able to continue if it weren't for our straight allies. And so I really want to emphasize that the straight allies were really important at that point. Some of the other teachers who themselves had gay members of their family or were just sympathetic to the cause, they came stepping up to the plate and they said, this is no longer okay and the GSA is going to go, and we did it.
And how did the school, like, how did the faculty react when you presented the club to them?
So, like I said, like, some of them were pretty homophobic, and to this day, we still have a group of maybe four or five of them who want nothing to do with it and still say really homophobic things in their class. But I think that since I've been there so long, this is my 19th year, I think that they expect me to be there, and they expect that if they do say something homophobic, that we'll be a little up in arms. I think that there's that the community as a whole had a problem with it in the beginning. Also, I was met with a group of about 50 parents at one of the back-to-school nights, and they bombarded my classroom, and they wanted me out, and they didn't want an openly gay teacher on campus. And I would have to say that the times have changed, because I don't find that anymore so much. And I think that if that were to happen again, if like parents came in and said, well, I don't want my student with a gay teacher, I think that would be met with like, hey, that's ridiculous, from the administrators. So mm-hmm. I have seen a change in that.
Did you have any like clubs like this while you were growing up in high school? Did you?
Absolutely not.
I wish you did, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that you hung out with the theater people if you kind of, you know, the drama club was sort of the place where you went and hung out, because drama people sort of accept everybody because everybody's really quirky and has their own thing going on in drama. So I think that that's been a safe place for people for a very long time. But I went to high school in the 80s. And
what high school did you go to?
I went to Westlake High School, rah, rah, rah. And it wasn't talked about. It wasn't, there was no club for it. I mean, you knew like maybe like a few gay people on campus who were out, but no, there wasn't anything. There weren't gay people on TV that were openly, you know, there weren't like out people on TV. You just kind of didn't talk about it. Plus the whole like AIDS epidemic was coming up. So it was a really shameful thing in the 80s.
How was it growing up with your parents, and would they get hated for it and stuff like that too? Would they get smack talked to, you know?
I remember, like, so I didn't come out to my parents when I was in high school.
Okay.
And I think partly I didn't come out partly because there was no support system, and I didn't really understand what was going on with me. And, you know, I think if you don't see it and if you don't have that community, then you don't really know what's going on until you actually get out and away from that and into the world. And you know, I realized what was going on when I got to college, mm-hmm. which was super fun, by the way. but I forget where we were going with that. But, no, there wasn't anything like that in high school. So I didn't come out in high school. So I don't actually have the same experience that some of my students are having where they're actually out and in high school. And it's really interesting, because I think that one of the things that the GSA is really good at is making sure that those students stay safe. And that's pretty much one of our goals, is to help them stay safe. Because they do have to live under their parents' roofs. And if their parents are homophobic, or if they don't accept it, or if they have some religious thing going on where it's just not okay, then we want to give those students the tools to deal with that until they can make it out of their houses, because they're underage and so they have to live there. And so, yeah, staying safe is the most important thing.
So you wish you had somebody like you when you were growing up then?
I do. I wish that there were people who were out, and I don't think it would have taken me as long to figure out what was going on.
Right. And why do you think this is important to have in high school?
Because I think that a lot of people perceive gay people as just, you know, being heathens and not, and just going out and partying all the time and just having sex all over the place. And it's just not. We're really, you know, normal everyday people. And I think it's really good for students to see openly gay people in normal everyday jobs, doing normal everyday things and being successful. And I think that it gives them a sense that, hey, I can do that with my life. And I don't have to go and, you know, commit suicide or anything like that.
I know, that's really scary. So you said one of the missions were to have people come in a safe place. But is there any other?
Well, we want to teach students, of course, to be activists, to stand up for themselves, to get involved in their communities, and to be members, like successful members of society. And they do that by building community. And one of the things we do in the GSA is help them build community, help them organize events, help them, you know, be successful members of their communities.
And is any family members involved with your club?
Like any parents, do they come?
Family members, your family members, just in general, like.
No.
No, just it's just you and your.
No, club? I think that when I post, like, you know, pro LGBTQ things, my mom's sort of come around. She sort of likes my things on Facebook now and stuff like that. But I don't think that they're involved in any organizations. I will have to say that my mom has come full circle. And if somebody does say something homophobic, my mom is really quick to jump in. Whereas before, she would just be like, you know, let them say it and stuff like that. But she's awesome.
All right. Is your like main family involved? Like your son and your daughter?
No.
And
they're not.
Wife?
They're not. My wife used to run a GSA on her own campus.
Oh, cool.
She was at Washington Prep, and that was an inner city campus. And her GSA definitely had more inner city struggles. Mm-hmm. There's definitely more of like community religion involved in that, and culturally in the inner city, it's harder, I think, to run a GSA. It's really necessary to run a GSA there, so bravo to her for doing that. That's actually how I met her. We were at a conference for GSA advisors, and she was the cutest one there, so I went for it.
So for a typical day meeting, what is it in GSA? What do you guys discuss?
So the GSA is mostly run by the students.
Okay.
And so we have a president and a vice president, and they either go on the GSA network, and they have activities for them, for people to do. We have a group of about 12 to 15 people who regularly come to the meetings. And then if we're running a big event like the Day of Silence or something like that, then we will get more like 50 or 100 people in there. Or National Coming Out Day, we had 100 people in that theater when we put a door up on the stage and people came out through the door and told their stories,
wow,
their coming out stories. And so we get more people who are supportive when we have big events. But just for your weekly meeting, I get about 12 to 15. And it's mixed. It is gay and it is straight, too.
So it's always been like 12?
It kind of falls off at the beginning, right after Club Rush, mm-hmm, we'll get like 35, 40 people in there, and then it'll slowly dwindle. They have other things to do. They'll go to tutoring. They have detention, and we only meet like once a week, so.
Oh, okay.
But I think students in general on campus know that if they do have a problem, that they can come to my room at any time. Like, it doesn't matter if it's Wednesdays at lunch. You can have a problem first period on a Tuesday, and most of the teachers on campus are pretty cool, and they'll send them to me. The administrators too. I am the go-to person for problems.
Has any administration have ever come to you and with a problem?
They do. They'll say like, hey, we're having a problem with this kid. I think he might be gay. Maybe you wanna, or if a kid comes out to a counselor, the counselor will definitely call my room and say, hi, I have a kid that I'm sending over. Can you please talk to the kid? Let the kid know, you know, what resources are available and how to protect themselves and stuff like that. And I think that one of my main roles on campus is if we do have an incident where somebody, like let's say a couple gay kids get sent to the dean's office or something, I will jump right in there and remind them of, like, the laws that they need to follow. Because it's against the law for anybody at our school, any adult at our school, to out a kid to a parent if that kid's not out to their parent.
Wow.
So, and we had to fight really hard to get those laws put in place, and I'm so glad that they're there because it saves kids' lives. And so I think that once the kids know that, like, hey, the adults on campus aren't allowed to out you, then they feel more free in terms of talking about exactly what happened, whether it's, you know, something sexual that happened or just something bully-wise that happened on campus or anything. They feel more comfortable knowing that because I'm telling an adult this, that it's not going to get back to my parents.
All right. So how's there been, I had a question. It literally went, whoop. Okay. Well, we'll come back to it. I'll remember.
Okay, absolutely.
No, I already asked that one.
Okay.
So can you give me the names, or would you like to, you know, tell everybody about who's the president and vice president, how you picked them, or how did it become that they became president, vice president?
Yeah, I'm only going to give you first names.
That's fine.
My president right now, her name is Danny, and she just really just expressed interest. She was in the club last year as a junior, and this year as a senior, she said, I really want to run this club, and I really think I could do a great job, and we just talked about it. And so because the club is really small, we had just a small vote of just the members in the club, like, you know, and so they voted her in, and she's done an amazing job.
All right. And VP?
The VP is Martin, and he does things on, like, he really helps her out. Like, if something, they plan things together. They'll plan, like, events together, or they'll plan exactly what it is that they're going to do at lunch together. Last year, I had a president who decided that he wanted to run the club as more of, like, an educational club. So every time the students came in, he sort of gave a lecture about something, and I think it really drove students away.
Oh, no.
But because the club is run by the students and sort of, you know, done like that, we let him go with it for a little while, and when we saw that he was driving people away, we asked him to change the direction of the club. And I think that it mostly came from the students in the club. They came to me and they said, hey, we don't feel comfortable with the way the club is going. Can we change the way the club is going? And that's how that came about. And students can do that, you know. If the club isn't meeting their needs, then they need to make it what does meet their needs.
All right. And what are your duties as advisor?
Basically, I make sure what they're doing is in line with what's legal to do on campus, and, you know, and I basically just help them come up with ideas of what's going to get more people involved and what people want, because a lot of times people do come to me and they'll say, like, hey, I really need help with this. And so if I pass that information on to the GSA president, then she can go ahead and make those things happen.
And how does one become president? Like, she just, I know she told you she wanted to come in, but did you have to take a vote, or it was just...
We did. We took a small vote, and okay. I think there were 12 people in the room, and we announced it. We said, hey, the GSA is voting on president, and those of you who wish to come and be a part of that vote should meet up at lunch at this time. And then we did a vote, and she won.
Wow. Was there anybody else running?
I think that they were trying to figure out who was going to be president and who was going to be vice president, and I think the students definitely helped them decide.
Right. And has there been any cases where you have had a meeting with the parent and the student trying to come out to their parent with you there? Or have they just told you, like, I did this and...
Yeah, I've never been involved in a meeting like that. I've been involved in meetings where the students come out at home and then they get to the counseling office the next day because the student's not refusing to go home because they don't feel safe. And those are unfortunate cases, and sometimes we have to get DCFS involved because, you know, we're still talking about high school students. So I've been involved in those meetings several times, and then sometimes they go well, and sometimes they don't go so well. So,
okay. And what has GSA accomplished so far?
This year, they decided that one of their main goals was to raise funds for a small AIDS organization, and they did that. They raised $350, and I think they felt such a sense of accomplishment after they did that. They were super proud of themselves, and then the rest of it has just been, you know, fun on campus things. They've done a, like, you know, just like they'll do Rainbow Day, or they'll do, you know, a picnic day where everybody goes out into the quad just so that we can be seen, like, because sometimes we don't want to hide in a classroom. We want people to know that we exist and that we're on campus and that, you know, we're here.
Is there still students right now that you have seen being bullied and everything and all that?
Absolutely. I mean, still. Yeah, we try. In fact, I have to tell you, just I think it was yesterday, I went into the faculty restroom and I closed the door, and there were a group of boys outside, and immediately after I closed the door, I heard one of them yell, "You fucking faggot." And I was like, I couldn't believe that in this day and age, that it still happens. And it's one of the things that we're really trying to stop on campus. That and some people saying, oh my gosh, that's so gay, you know, as a derogatory thing. Like, those are the two things that we're really, like, trying to do every single day just so that it doesn't happen.
I know. It was a really big thing saying that, and it was kind of annoying.
Exactly, exactly. So we try to do that, too. But I feel like I've done it so many times that everybody on campus knows, like, oh, don't say that when JJ walks by. But I don't want be like, oh, don't say that when just JJ walks by. I want it to be like, oh, don't say that because you don't say that.
Yeah. So what have you... It's okay. What have you feel like you have accomplished to teach your kids, like your group of kids in GSA?
I think bravery is probably the most important thing. Bravery and just to be true to yourself, honesty, bravery, be yourself, because if you're not, like, you're living a lie. And I know that's a really hard thing to do, but it feels so much better than living a lie, because living a lie is, it has a psychological toll.
All right. And what are some struggles that GSA has faced?
I think that one of the struggles GSA faces is that they're, like, and I don't want to bag on religious people, but I really feel like the Love Club on campus, they call themselves the Love Club, but there's like three different Christian clubs on campus, and the one club in particular who calls themselves the Love Club, they have a tendency to harass the students.
Really?
And they have a tendency to say, like, hey, come to our club instead. Hey, come to our club instead. When they know that they're targeting the students who are in the GSA and that the clubs meet at the same time. So it's one of the things that I am really struggling with, because I don't want to go and, you know, be mean to their club when, yeah. I mean, because I really think that they believe that they're spreading love, but they're really not. They're really harassing the students. When the students say no thank you, I really can't, they persist. So wow, it's interesting.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Wow. So are you involved with anything else in the LGBTQ community?
Whenever I can. Like I said, I'm going to run the theater, too, so I'm really just involved in those kinds of things. But I go to GLSEN events, which is Gay and Lesbian Educational Network, and anything I can think of. In terms of getting GSAs together, there's some wonderful meetups that the GSA kids can do, and so a lot of times I'll help out with those meetups and stuff like that.
And have you influenced the GSA to take part in that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I think that the one thing, like I said, is really hard for them is because some of them aren't out to their parents, so they can't necessarily say, hey, I'm going to the GSA meetup today, because their parents don't even know they're in the club in the first place. So yeah, those kinds of things are a little bit more difficult to do. Getting them to, there's a big event called Models of Pride that happens every year, and getting them to that event is really difficult because they have to, like, say something else to their parents, like, well, I'm just going to some event, but then their parents want to know everything about that event, which, I mean, I'm a parent too, like, I would want to know everything about that event, and so if you can't be out to your parents, then you can't necessarily go to those events.
Yeah. And so has there been any member that now or from the past that has impacted your life greatly?
I think that following students on Facebook has really been the most impactful, because I get to see them grow up and come out and be successful and sometimes not be successful. I mean, I've had some students who've taken their lives, and I never want that to happen again. And at a certain point, like, you wish you could go back and change something or change what you've said to that person or given them just one more resource so that it doesn't happen, but sometimes it does. I've had students who have come out to me 10 years after they've graduated, and they've said, like, wow, I'm really, like, I really wish I could have been out in high school, but I just couldn't, but I just wanted you to know now that I am out and I'm living a good life. And those are the greatest moments. Like, just because you know that you were visible, and you know that you at one point, they saw you and they knew that it was okay.
All right. And to many people, you're an inspiration. How does that make you feel?
I mean, I think I'm really humbled by that. I like that. I mean, it's one of the things that I set out to do when I was younger. Like, I just wanted to be somebody that people could look up to. And so I don't take that for granted for a second. At the same time, like, I always think, like, what, who, me? Like, I Like, I'm just living my life, and I'm just hoping that in living my life, others see that it can be done, and that it's cool, and I really appreciate everything everybody has done for me, too.
And what's some advice you can give to somebody that wants to
get involved or be out? There are lots of resources out there. Get yourself on the internet. I mean, lots of times you can research things on the internet and nobody has to know about it. And so, but just be careful because I don't know, like in this day and age too, like with what's going on politically, be careful because I don't want to see people get hurt. And I think we had a good ride for about 8 years, if you know what I mean. And then times become a little bit scary again. And so I just, my advice out there is be careful and stay safe and protect yourself and find community.
All right. Because there's always somewhere that you can have somebody there.
Absolutely.
Right?
There are allies everywhere. There are good people out there everywhere. And if you just look hard enough, I'm sure you'll find them.
All right. And what's something you want our audience to take away from this interview?
I think that if you can get involved, then do get involved. And if you do see somebody struggling, let them know that it's okay to be who they are and give them some support, give them a hand, say some kind words, and that's about it.
All right. So is there anything else you would like to add?
Yeah. John F. Kennedy High School is presenting The Wizard of Oz this Thursday and Friday at 6:30 p.m.
How much are the tickets?
$5 in advance, $7 at the door. Hope to see you there.
All right. And you could look up John F. Kennedy. It's in Granada Hills. I don't have the exact address right now, but yeah. But thank you. That's all the time we have for today on A Helpful Heart with Rebecca Paredes. Thank you so much. And see you next time.